Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Amid scoffing and slander from those who sarcastically call him Messiah and King, Jesus reveals that to be Messiah and King is to give one's life for others. Here he uses his power to welcome a despised sinner to paradise, but puts his own death into God's hands. I begin reading at verse 33. When they came to the place of that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an Oriental story about a man who died and is condemned to torment. And he is down there in the midst of the depths of hell, and he's crying out for mercy. "God, help me, save me, do something." And God hears his pleas. And the man is asked, "While you were on earth, what good did you ever do?" And the man had to stop and think for a minute. And he said, "One day when I was out walking in the forest, I saw a spider and I didn't squash it." And immediately there was a thin thread, a spider's web, that came down to the man. And he grabbed it and it started to pull him up out of the midst of all that torment. But as he was being raised up, the others who were down there too saw him being lifted up, and they started to grab hold of his clothing and his legs and his feet. And they were all being lifted up together, and the man got scared because of all this weight was going to break that thin little spider's thread. And so he started hollering, "Get off! Let go!" And he started kicking. And when they let go, that thread broke and they all fell back down. That thread was strong enough to lift them all out of their torment. But one unthankful soul was enough to break it. Today is Christ the King Sunday, one of the festivals of the church. And it is actually the last Sunday of the church year. I know on our calendars normally, our years begin on December 31st, and they begin January 1st. But with the church calendar, it's a little bit different. It begins with the first Sunday of Advent, and it ends on this day of Christ the King Sunday. And on this, we had a little bit different gospel reading today, too, if you noticed. It's a story of the crucifixion, or part of that story. And it shows who this Christ is as king, a different kind of king than than anything that this world has ever seen before. Different than any kind of person who has ever been in power before or since is this Christ the King. He doesn't save us by a spider's thread, but what he does use are things that seem to us to be very insignificant. Or he uses people who don't even seem to matter at all in this world. Or he's able to take a crisis and turn it completely around and turn it into a victory. As we celebrate this Sunday of Christ the King, to be able to see who this King is, maybe we need to look back in this past year and see all of the things that Christ has done and the stories that we covered during this past year. This year started out with Advent. We saw a crazy man, John the Baptist, dressed in camel's hair and eats locust and honey. A different character who's out in the middle of the wilderness, away from all the people, but yet God is still able to use him. God uses John the Baptist to call people to come out of their lives and to come out into that wilderness and to repent, to change their ways, and to get ready for that coming Christ. And then we heard the story of the Christmas story. And again, Jesus, our God, uses insignificant people to bring this whole message of salvation to us. This Christmas story starts off with a peasant girl, a teenager, who becomes pregnant with that Son of God. And Jesus is born, not in a palace or in a clean, antiseptically made hospital, but rather, he's born in a stable, in a place where animals eat, a place where animals live, an out-of-the-way town, out-of-the-way place. God takes what is insignificant in this world and he turns it around. And we move on then to the Epiphany season. And there we heard the story of the kings that came, or the magi, the scholars who came to worship the Christ and to bring him gifts, and that whole story of Herod and the cruel corruption and that contrast between that earthly king who is cunning and cruel and who is actually jealous of a little baby born of a peasant woman. And God is able to turn that around once again then too. Because Joseph is faithful, he listens to that angel in his dream, and he takes his family and he flees to Egypt and is made safe. God is able to thwart that cunningness of King Herod and turn that event around into a victory for Christ. From Epiphany then we move on to Lent. And that's where we start to focus on the cross and that whole act of salvation. And in Lent, we saw some different characters that surrounded Christ and some of those different people and how God used those people in different ways. We saw insignificant people, once again. Jesus' disciples, they were plain people. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were laborers, they were just common, ordinary people. But God was able to use them. He called them to come into his service. But these people play a great part in what happened. Peter, who is the bold and brash one, who says, "Jesus, I will never run away from you. I am willing to die for you." But what happens? Peter runs away. And Peter actually is one then who denies Jesus. Another disciple, Judas, betrays Jesus, turns him in, becomes a traitor. Jesus also, or God, uses other people within the story too. Caiaphas, the high priest, the one who should know who is God, is taking part in the plot to kill the Son of God. Pilate, who is the representative of the most mighty nation on earth in that day and time, is driven to the point where he just throws up his hands and caves in. There's irony in this story, the story of Christ the King, all the way through. God uses insignificant people. He uses mighty people and turns things around. He changes things. He transforms things. And from this tragedy of the cross, when everything looks like everything was lost, God is able to raise Jesus up once again into new life. And because he does that, our lives are transformed and changed as well too. We too are raised up into a new life through that resurrection.
From Easter, we move into Pentecost, and we hear that story of Pentecost. Again, Jesus uses these plain disciples, these plain people, but he fills them with their Holy Spirit, and they are able to speak in other languages, other tongues, and eventually they scatter throughout the whole world to bring that message of salvation to all people. And through that season of the Sundays after Pentecost, then, we heard of all those stories of the teachings of Jesus and the stories of miracles and the stories of how Jesus touched people's lives. We heard the stories of how people made the lame to walk, how he gave sight back to the blind, how he was able to walk on water, how he fed thousands of people on just a little bit of food, how he touched the lives of those who were low, and he raised them up once again. This is a different kind of king. And that brings us back then to today, Christ the King Sunday, this last Sunday of the church year, which wraps up all of these stories here in this story of that cross that we read today. That this is a different kind of king, a king who is willing to go to the cross, a king who is willing to die for his subjects rather than his subjects willing to die for him. Christ turned these things around, and he becomes the servant of all. And he tells us too then, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.